Episode 38.
John Pendleton.
The Floral Whisperer.
The Floral Whisperer.
Got a good guess, man.
Yeah.
So he's connected to Derrick Rose, right?
Yeah. He's got a shop in Chicago, and Derrick Rose contracted him to do this pop-up event, which is kind of cool, actually. D. Rose, what he did was he bought, people who Chicago flowers, roses,
right?
You know, to give out.
Hence his name,
right? Derrick Rose.
All of that goes together. It's so much,
right?
Triple, quadruple entendres with that.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's good, man. No. So the Floral Whisperer.
Yeah. Now he's up there, and we got a chance to connect with him, and so we'll have him on the show. And to talk about flowers and his business, planks and pistols.
Right. And it's happy Valentine's
and month. Valentine's Day.
Valentine's month is done, you know.
Right.
The month of love. I don't believe it. You're supposed to have love all the time, right?
It's the month of commercial pay for it love.
Right. And chocolate candies. There'll be
teddy bears.
What is Valentine's Day on the 14th?
February 14th.
Okay, so the 14th, the candy will be $8. On the 15th, it'll be 99 cents. Every time, brother. All right. Best Chicago professional athletes. I can name one.
Well, the first one you think of is Jordan, but Walter Payton.
I was going to say, I thought about Sweetness before Jordan.
Walter Payton.
I thought about Sweetness before Jordan.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Walter Payton was
Sweetness.
He's an icon.
That's Chicago,
right?
Football,
exactly.
In front of Mike Singletary,
yes.
Who is not? Come on.
Oh yeah. No. When you talk about Bears football, that is Walter Payton and everybody else. I mean, he's the face of Bears football. Over the coach Mike Ditka,
right?
I mean,
I don't care who it is.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think of players that could even come close.
There are none.
Nobody. No Chicago Bears football player.
Walter Payton.
Refrigerator Perry was popular, but he's not even close to.
If you talk top four players, you could make the argument that he's on the Mount Rushmore of football NFL.
I would not argue that.
That's what I'm saying. So for the Bears, of course.
Gale Sayers.
I think
he was a freaking Chicago Bear. Come on.
If he would have been there longer, then maybe you could say Gale Sayers.
But
Walter Payton
has him beat.
Right.
But Gale Sayers.
And that's how big he is, because he's bigger than Gale Sayers.
Gale Sayers might be right behind him. I'm going to be honest. You can't put Gale in front of Mike Singletary. I mean, you got to put Gale in front of Mike. Can't put Mike Singletary in.
I got Gale Sayers behind Walter Payton.
Right.
But Walter Payton's number one.
Right.
And it's a gap between one and two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Golly.
Yeah.
And so then, with Chicago, with basketball,
you got Jordan.
No other Chicago basketball. Other than D. Rose, I mean, you know, he's behind Jordan.
So actually, have you heard of Ben Wilson?
Yes.
He was on the 30 for 30. He was the high school All-American for Chicago, Simeon High School, the same school that Derrick Rose went to. And actually, Derrick Rose's number, he wears his number.
Okay.
He was a top player recruit for Chicago, number one player in the country, and he got shot.
Yikes.
Yeah, got shot. Life got cut short.
Could have been.
So, but the guys at Simeon High School, I think his number is 21. And they all wear, like, the best player. It's an honor to wear number 21 in his name.
Wow. That's something, man.
Yeah, man.
That's something.
Then you got the Cubs.
Okay, let's go to baseball right quick.
I mean, you got Cubs.
But like a player.
I was thinking Ryan.
One player from the Cubs.
Maybe Ryan Sandberg or the guy who hit the home runs.
It's a hard one, though.
Yeah, because Rhino had been there for a while. He was there for a while.
What about the Blackhawks?
I don't know any names for the Blackhawks, but, I mean, obviously there's a big following there.
Right. They're not slouch either.
Yeah, I don't know any names for the Blackhawks, unfortunately.
Man, that's the trip, all right? Well, having said that, man, give us our theme.
Give us our theme music. Get out of here, Dewey.
Welcome to On and Off the Field Sports Podcast. And with the purpose, you got the on-the-field coach.
Rest assured, this is your boy, Coach Boston, a.k.a. Steeler Nation since 1976.
And you know you got the infamous CEO of the man since 1968. What up, Coach?
What up, Coach?
Shout out to you. Listen, shout out to the listening audience, man. We want to give yourself a hand of praise. We appreciate y'all for rocking with On and Off the Field Sports Podcast and with a purpose. This is episode 38, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The Floral Whisperer.
The Floral Whisperer. Right, let me get some of that down right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, John Pendleton.
Some of that feedback.
John Pendleton.
John, you know, what do you call a pedestal? That's what you call it. His name was close to that. Pendleton, pedestal. The whole flower thing. Come on, man. We are getting it. I was like, is that it? Is that it? No. All right. You ready, Coach?
Yeah, let's go.
Quote of the day.
Okay.
Take time to smell the roses. Mm-hmm. I always wonder who said that. By golfer Walter Hagen is a reminder to slow down and appreciate the beauty and simple pleasures in life. So profound. Mm-hmm. It encourages us to be present in the moment. Another profound statement.
Right.
And enjoy the small things, like the fragrance of a rose. That's fire. Yeah. I was wondering who said take time to smell the rose. Uh-huh. And he was a golfer. You know, one of the most peaceful places that I can imagine, and I've been on them, I never played, a golf range.
Yes.
It looks so peaceful.
It is. You could escape for, depending on how many holes you play, about 4 to 5 hours. Just escape.
I would just.
And some of them is manicured so. Oh.
I would. There's one in Florida. There's one in Florida, especially particularly in Florida, is beautiful. Mm. They send a drone across it, man. You like, oh my goodness.
We got a lot.
Get a cart and just ride through the golf course.
Yeah, yeah. Kiva Dunes is one of my favorites.
What a fatty. Why not?
Yeah.
All right.
Tallulah.
What up?
When a man was asked why his plants grow so beautifully, the gardener said, I don't force them to grow. I remove what stops them.
That's fire. That's fire. Yeah. Wow, that's fire. Profound. Profound statement. Class clown
let's
statement.
Laugh, no, let's laugh, man.
We got some bad. We got
We're going to get the Cowboys a break and jump on the Bears.
I hope they do better next year. What does Bears stand for?
What?
Been enduring a rebuilding season. That's good.
Yeah. Why do the trees in Wisconsin lean to the south?
Why?
Because the Vikings blow and the Bears suck.
Wow. You know, the Vikings weren't that bad.
They were. Yeah, I know. They were actually had a good year this year.
Sam Donald.
Yeah.
What does What does a tampon and the Bears have in common?
What?
Only good for one period and they don't have a second string. Oh, man.
What did the bee say to the flower?
What?
Hello, honey.
All right. Why did the flower stop talking?
Why?
It thought it was best to nip it in the bud. That's good.
How do you know flowers are capable of kissing?
How do you know?
Because they have two lips.
That was good. What did the bee say to the flower?
What?
Hey, bud, when do you open? Wow, that's fire.
What did the daisy say to the lazy flower?
What's that?
Get up and bloom.
Okay. What do you call a grandpa flower?
What?
Oh, man, an elderberry. That's good for you, too.
Why is a flower like the letter A?
Why is it?
Because a bee is always after it.
Oh, wow. What do you call a girl? What do you call a girl with a frog on her head?
What?
Lily.
Rabbit.
Rabbit.
All right. Once there was a beautiful woman, and she loved to work on her garden. But no matter what she did, she couldn't get her tomatoes to ripen. Mm-hmm. And her neighbor, though, had beautiful red tomatoes. And so one day she asked him, what was the secret? And he said, it's quite simple. Twice each day, once in the morning and once in the evening, I expose myself in front of them.
Oh, my goodness.
And they turn red with embarrassment. So she said, okay, that's for the perfect garden. I'm going to go try the advice. So the neighbor, after a few days, comes by and says, hey, any luck with the tomatoes? She says, no, but you should see the size of my cucumbers.
Oh, I snorked. All right. Serenity Now. I like that one. How flowers can help with most people's mental illnesses, right?
Yeah.
It improves mood and motivation. Studies have shown that being around flowers can reduce stress and anxiety and improve mood.
Right.
increase oxygen levels. Plants, including flowers, release oxygen through photosynthesis. This can help improve the air quality in your home, making it easier to breathe. That's a trick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting. All right.
I mean, you got to think about it. How do you feel when you see a lot of flowers and colors around you?
Like peaceful.
You feel peaceful.
You're right.
Yeah, you feel peaceful. Mm-hmm. And so if you're stressed.
I feel gay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, gaiety.
It's happy.
Yeah, happy.
Yeah.
All right. Mary's Nerd Nugget Fun Facts.
All right.
All right. Egyptians.
I love these.
Were the first to cut and place flowers in a vase to decorate and add color to their surroundings.
All right.
So Egyptians were known as the first florists by trade and commission to place very high styled arrangements around burials, processions, wow, and table decorations.
I can see that because they, yeah, wow, they take the burial serious.
Seriously.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I know.
Told you, I saw King Tut's, told you, the tomb, and how they dressed.
Were you in there?
They, in Egypt, I went to Egypt in a...
I mean, you saw the tombs.
They, yes.
Wow.
It's 7 layers thick. Pure gold. Nothing but pure gold. They had his tomb, the layered tomb, in a museum.
Really?
We were in Egypt. We got to go see it.
Uh-huh.
Literally... 7 layers thick his tomb was.
God.
I think his mail, what they call the stuff they put on, was all gold. Mm-hmm. Probably like weighed like some thousands of pounds, yeah, worth of gold, just draped on it.
Right.
So yeah, they were serious about that.
Wow.
So I know they decked it out with the flowers.
With the flowers.
Oh man.
So you can imagine.
Isn't that ironic that Egypt basically is in the desert, but yet mm-hmm. the flower they
Yeah.
That's a trip.
That's crazy.
Wow. Did you know?
The lotus was considered a sacred flower by the ancient Egyptians and was used in burial rituals. This flower blooms in rivers and damp wetlands, but may lie dormant for years during the times of drought, only to rise again with the return of water. Egyptians viewed it as a symbol of resurrection and eternal life.
Yeah, those deities and gods and stuff like that. Uh-huh. Yeah, wow, that's a trip. All right.
Things that make you go, The Titan arum is a flowering plant native to the Indonesian island of Sumatra,
mm-hmm.
and is the largest flower in the world, with some growing 10 feet high and 3 feet wide. Also known as the corpse flower, they only bloom once every 7 to 10 years, and they only last 24 to 36 hours.
Wow.
But when it does, the flowers smell of decaying flesh, emitting vile aroma similar to rotten meat.
I'm glad they only come every 7 to 10 years, yeah. Then. Oh no. You know what? Let me see something. You know I gotta get ready now. You Let's know get, I gotta on, get man. Ready, my brother.
No technical difficulties.
We're not gonna have none.
Battery
of those,
is
man.
Charged. We ready to
Look,
go.
The battery charged. Lola. And
Luke, I am your father.
That is why you fail.
Yes!
Yeah. Woo! All right.
What's happening, Yoda?
Yoda! Okay. So keeping in theme with flowers,
all right,
there are at least 100 verses that mention flowers in
okay.
them.
Okay, all right.
But these two verses actually were very similar, so I figured maybe you can expand on them since they kind of overlap in words.
Okay.
In Luke 12, verse 27, it says, "Consider the lilies, mm-hmm. how they grow.
Mm-hmm.
They neither toil nor spin.
Mm-hmm.
Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory
mm-hmm.
was not arrayed like one of these."
Okay.
And then in Matthew 6, verse 28 through 29, it says, "And why are you anxious about clothing?
Mm-hmm.
Consider the lilies
mm-hmm.
of the field,
right.
how they grow.
Right.
They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these."
Okay, here's the thing about a few facts about the lily. The lily, the best lilies are the prettiest lilies grow in the valley.
Right.
Hence the song, "There's a lily in the valley." All right.
Right, right.
That's one thing, beauty within a valley. within a place that's not popular, all right? That has spiritual connotations as well as natural connotations. We just shouldn't grow that pretty in a valley. In a valley. All right? Also, lilies, they're beautiful. And so when Jesus used the analogy, he was really comparing the beauty of the lily. And when he brought up Solomon, he said even Solomon, who was the richest man in the world, we talked about that, right, had all the money in the world.
Right.
He could have bought all kind of stuff. Solomon didn't have enough money to outdress a lily.
Wow.
I said, Solomon did not have enough money to, he couldn't outdress a lily. And the lily ain't have no money. He said, consider the lilies. And what he was trying to tell them was, look at how I take care of them. They don't sperm. I take care of them. Yet they're adorned. They look better than Solomon. He can go spend all his money.
All this money.
He can't outdress a lily.
Wow.
That I take care of.
It's kind of discouraging to you. You think you all big and bad.
But if you look at the context within what he was talking about, he was telling them how much he could take care of them compared to a lily.
Exactly.
He said, look at that lily right there. It doesn't sperm. Nobody pays attention to a lily. But guess what? A lily is always ready for company. You can see her come visit. You know how you pop up on somebody and say, oh, I wasn't ready for no. A lily already ready for company. Right. A lily stay busy ready. Consider the lilies. That's a word. And if you say that long enough, you start getting encouraging. It'll start encouraging you. Consider the lilies. They're in a valley.
Right.
Nobody hangs in valleys. Yet they're beautiful.
Valley of the shadow of death, huh?
Yes. Yet they're beautiful. Yes. So who coming to see them? But they pretty. They stay pretty. In a valley.
Ooh.
But they stay looking good.
Stay looking good.
See?
Right.
So yeah, you don't find them on mountaintops, which you would think you would find a beautiful lily on a mountaintop. Right. It could bloom, the sun hit it, boom, boom, boom. Mm-mm. They down in the valley, buddy. That's why he said, pay attention to the lily.
God taking care of him.
Facts, man. Yoda! That was good.
Yoda! Yoda!
Yoda!
Yoda!
Yoda! You know what? That was good. What made you go get that?
I just, when I was doing the search, I was, trying to find something to connect with the theme. And because both of these verses had the same wording, consider the lilies of the field. Both of them had the same exact wording.
Well, the reason you read them both like that, because they call it synoptic gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they name them synoptic because it's her word synonym.
Right.
So you read the Luke's version and then you read Matthew's version, which was interesting. When he says they both were talking about the same thing.
He's talking about the same thing.
So imagine 12 dudes, right? Mm. All of them got pens. Mm. And they're all 12 of them writing from 12 different perspectives. At least four of them. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just say those 40 guys got pens.
Right.
And they're all writing from four different perspectives.
Right.
Same dude, same situation. But if you read them, some of them include certain stuff. Some of them exclude certain stuff. You're like, wow, that's interesting.
Right.
So, yeah, that's interesting that you would pull that about the lily, man. Because I just talked about that probably about a month ago on my podcast, the other one.
Really? Yeah,
you better, yes. Talk about the – and I really got kind of excited about the lily. Because if you say it long enough, it starts to kind of gives you some encouragement. Consider the lilies. For him to say, pay attention to them. They don't sperm. Yeah. They don't do any of that.
Symbol. They're a great symbol of hope.
Yes.
Yes.
They look good. Even though they're in the valley, they still look good.
Wow.
When we down and out, do we still look good? When we're in a valley situation, are we still lilies?
No.
Or do we turn into...
Look toe up.
Yeah, we look like what we going through, don't we?
Exactly.
But a lot of times you
really see it on people. A lot of times you just walk up to somebody, you say, wow, you look bad.
Right, you can tell they're going through it. One of the things, we got a minute before we come. One of the things that I think we should do, we should learn how to not look like what we're going through. You don't have to look like what you're going through.
Right.
So they don't have to they don't have to look at you.
You wear it on your face.
Right.
Stress will do that to you.
It will. Mm-hmm. But you know what? There's a power though that we can possess that we don't have to look, because look at Jesus. Man, he went through the ringer. Yeah. But he didn't walk around like that.
You have to be mentally strong.
Mentally.
You have to have some, sometimes you need, some people you need an assistance, a help, you know,
right, a leg up. And sometimes you need some good advice, like on and off the field.
Exactly.
Like we giving right exactly. now. You feel me?
Exactly.
I told y'all we don't be playing around. And look, we got this guest we about to get ready to call.
The Flower Whisperer, John Pendleton.
Mr. John Pendleton. Let's see if we can get him on the line.
Okay.
Doctor.
Hello, this is John.
Mr. John Pendleton, good evening. How are you doing?
I am doing well. How about you, sir?
I am good, sir. I am one part of On and Off the Field Sports Podcasting with a Purpose, and I think you know the other half, Coach Boston.
How are you? How are you doing, John?
Doing well. How about you?
Good, good.
It's
thank
honor
you for taking the time.
For having you on the show. Yes,
yes.
It's an honor for having
you on the show. Of course. Thanks for having me.
Can I read your bio? Can I read your bio right quick? I got to read this.
Yeah.
Because I want the world to know who you are. All right. A graduate. He's a graduate of Moody Bible Institute in Chicago. I love it. Where he studied biblical exposition. He's the owner of Planks and Pistols, one of the most popular floral studios in Chicago. John's floral design work has been in bridal magazines, and he was included in 125 florists to be celebrated in 2022 by Florist Review Magazine. Ladies and gentlemen, I introduce to some and present to others Mr. John Pendleton. Thank you so much, sir. How are you?
Thank you for having me, and I'm doing well. I'm doing well. You know, next week is like Super Bowl. It's actually Super Bowl Sunday, but it's Super Bowl for the flower industry too, because it's Valentine's Day next Friday.
You know, I mentioned to Coach. Yes,
that's
and
right.
I said, you know what? Before we go into that, though, I want to touch this. I want to touch this on your bio. You graduated from Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Bible Institute myself. I went to it was in actually in Georgia, Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia. I graduated from there. Right. Yes, and I also went to Citadel of Hope Bible Institute as well. I went there for 5 years. Yes, sir. And so, real quick, how was Moody Bible Institute? I gotta ask that.
You know, it had its challenges.
Was it mechanical or was it very spiritual?
What do you mean by mechanical?
Did it lean more towards spiritual things, or was it like, was the Bible your main, book?
Or
did
you,
yes.
Yeah. So like every class was focused on study of the Bible. So it was very Bible focused. Okay. I think just culturally, it was a lot of challenges. Cause it's not a lot of black students there.
Right.
And, yeah, so that was a little bit of a challenge for me. But overall, I met some of the best people there, and ultimately it got me to Chicago, which is, you know, led to so many other things. So I'm grateful for it getting me here.
Right.
Tell me, John, what is your favorite? Since you're in Chicago now, what is your favorite Chicago sports team?
My favorite Chicago sports team, even though they are horrible recently, I love the White Sox.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah,
White Sox,
I love them.
Okay.
I love the White Sox.
Are you on the South Side?
I am on the South Side. I've been on the South Side for the last almost 5 years now. And before that, I was on the West Side for a little bit, and then I was downtown for college. But South Side has been home. Most recently.
Okay.
Yeah.
So did you grow up there? Where did you grow up?
So I grew up in Grovefield, Alabama.
What?
Yep. Right up the road.
So he right around the way.
What?
So we broadcast out of Mobile.
Oh my goodness. We right out of Mobile.
So you're at Grovefield. So what is your choice via Iron Bowl, Roll Tide or War Eagle?
Oh, Roll Tide all the day.
Mr. Pendleton, we're going to pray, sir. We're going to have to pray about that. Oh my goodness.
Nick is a big Auburn fan.
I'm an Auburn fan. Well, we're gonna pray though. We're gonna agree to disagree. We still children of God though.
Hey, yeah. It's all good. Yeah.
All right. Describe how growing up in Alabama influenced your current studio name, Planks and Pistols.
So Planks, my dad is his name is Fernell Pendleton, and he is a cabinet maker in Crowfield, and he does cabinets. I mean, he was just doing a job up in Montgomery, and so I grew up in his wood shop. But so when I started doing flowers for folks, I was working in youth development in a rough school on the west side, and I was starting to do flowers because it was like a good little hobby, and it kind of give my brain a break from all the emotional work doing with the young folks. But I was like, I like working with my hands, but I want to get back into woodworking too. Mm-hmm. And so, I was getting more and more business with flowers. And so I was just like, man, how am I going to, what am I going to name it? And so this flower shop that was just, I would go in there and the owner would teach me some things and give me tips and everything. Name of her shop was Pistol and Vine. So I was like, okay, Pistol. I want that to be the flower part. Mm. And then I was like, I want something to do with wood. Mm. And so then I thought of Planks. So okay.
Nice. So this segment is called Travel Through Your Eyes. So tell the listeners, why did you choose to live in Chicago, and how long have you been there?
Yeah, so I chose to live here. I moved here for school, but then I chose to stay because I was mentoring young people, and I just had a very close relationship with them, and I just didn't feel like it was time to go. They hadn't graduated high school. They hadn't graduated high school. And so I just stayed here for them. Okay. And one thing led to another. And now I've been here 15 years.
Gotcha.
Wow. Yeah.
Tallulah, what is your favorite part about living in Chicago?
Favorite part is, I'm from a small town called Grove Hill, 1,800 people. I like the fact that though Chicago is a big city, it so often feels like a small town.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of small neighborhoods. A lot of small neighborhoods scattered about the city.
Okay. All right. Describe what it was like meeting your wife.
So we met at Moody. Yeah, we met at Moody Bible Institute. She was from Scotland. That she grew up in a pastor's home over there.
Scotland,
the country.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, her mom and dad, they lived on the south side, black Christian family, but her dad felt the call to go to Scotland. And when she was 10 and her brother was 8 and her sister was 13, they all packed up and moved over there. So I was the president of our black student group on campus.
So does she have a heavy accent, like a Scottish accent? I gotta know.
No. She didn't have an accent. She would use different words every now and then, different terms for stuff. You know, the instead of the trunk of the car, she'd say the boot or something like that.
Because I was wondering.
Yeah.
Do you have any children?
No children. Okay. We have 15 nieces and nephews. So
you got children.
More than enough.
Nieces and nephews.
More than enough. Yes.
Okay, this is called our time, energy, and money segment. And the question is, how did you know the floral industry was your passion?
How did I know that the floral industry was my passion? Yeah, I honestly, that's a good question. And surprisingly, I actually wouldn't say that the floral industry is my passion. My greater passion is art.
Art. Okay.
And so right now I'm talking with y'all at the Museum of Contemporary Art in Chicago. I'm getting ready to go do a viewing with a friend. They got an exhibit here right now. It's an exhibit of a black man from Mississippi named Arthur Jaffa.
Wow.
Yeah. So yeah, my passion is art. Flowers is like what got me into art, because I do these large scale flower installations around the city at different statues and monuments. And I choose flowers to tell a story.
Right.
And so, one thing has led to another. I've been able to show in a few museums and group shows. And this summer I'm going to have my first solo exhibit at an art center. And so I'll have all of my work in their gallery.
Wow. Nice.
I saw a guy that did a painting with used roses to make a guitar, like an electric guitar.
Interesting.
The bass part of it was roses. And then they had this, of course, where the strings go, and at the tip of it had some more roses at the end. That was interesting. Wow. Yeah, the way he used roses to do an electric guitar.
Wow.
Yeah, you can do a lot with flowers.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. All right. So tell us how the Derrick Rose pop-up shop happened, and you know how it's affected you and your business.
So it was December, and all of a sudden I get an email from somebody with this creative agency, and they were like, "Hey, we have an opportunity coming up where Derrick Rose is gonna we have a floor opportunity that's coming up for, with Derrick Rose. It's his retirement week." And I emailed him back, and I was like, "This sounds crazy." And I was like, "This sounds really crazy." And so I emailed him back. We get on the phone. They tell me what they need. They tell me the budget, and I said, "Okay, I'll sketch up some stuff and make it happen." And I was bidding against a couple other businesses, but I think that not even think. Derrick and his team wanted to hire local black businesses for this event.
Okay,
that's I'm pretty sure they looked up black florists in Chicago, mm-hmm. and saw my work and were like, "Oh, we like it." Mm-hmm. And then after I presented my ideas for how we could design it out to make it look good, they really loved it, and they moved forward with me.
That's nice, awesome. Nice. Good. So to discuss the challenges of being a black male in the floral industry.
Wow. You came out of left field with that one.
He does that.
So at first it was a challenge, because I would be at the market and, you know, I'm in the cooler shopping just like everybody else. Mm-hmm. And people would be like, "Excuse me, sir, do y'all have more of this or that or da da da?" And I'm like, "Oh, I don't work here. I'm a designer," you know, like, and that was when I first started. Like, a lot of people would be like confused. And even now, so now when in Chicago, I go to the market and they know me, you know, like I've been doing it for years. I'm very much my father's son. So I like know almost everybody in this, the market's name, right. Family, kids, wife, parents, all that stuff. I'm asking about them and stuff. But then when I travel to other places, the same thing happens. So I did a wedding in Washington, D.C., and I go to this flower market, and it was the market is run by a black man. This market is, and this another black man was my salesperson, and even they were like, "Who is this young dude?" Like, because you also don't see young black men in flowers. Right. You see some black men, but a lot of times they're older. Right. But to see late 20s, now I'm 32, 32-year-old man in flowers, they're like, who, what?
Right.
But I'm just trying to build a brand where, you know, young designers who are black and brown can come and work with me and feel safe. My team is growing, and my team is majority black folks. So it feels really good.
That's shout out to you for that.
Thank you. Here's a helpful
hint segment. So what would you tell a young person who sees you? As a matter of fact, I'm going to keep it like that. What would you tell a young person who sees you in your business and they want to open their own studio or get into the floral industry or something similar to that? What would you tell them?
Honor the craft, first and foremost. You gotta figure out figuring out the basics, you know, like learning how to take care of the flowers. Learn, like, you can't ever outdo fundamentals. That's with anything. That's with sports. That's with any type of art, you know. So that's the first thing. And then second thing is, after you start designing and making stuff and people like yours, because you got to focus on the product first. You got to have a product that people like. And once you get a product that people like and you start selling that product, make sure you're paying your taxes immediately.
That's some good business advice.
Because if somebody out there and they want to do floral design or some type of creative work, a lot of times creative minded people, artistic minded people, don't think about like the business side of things.
It's a total different deal. They do not think about 100%. That.
100%.
You're right.
And I've learned the hard way. So I tell all young florists, I'm like, yo, learn the fundamentals, get it down, know your style, know what your aesthetic is, and then start worrying about your logo and all that stuff. Cause I think a lot of times people put the cart before the horse and they want to build a website and get their logo and they don't even know how to design well, you know what I'm saying?
That's good advice.
So yeah, get those fundamentals down and make sure you pay Uncle Sam.
All right. This segment was called Coming Out of the Tunnel, and it was birth for sports guys coming out of the locker room, get ready to play a big game. But we try to tailor it to you. So describe the adrenaline rush you feel on Valentine's Day.
Man, so Valentine's Day is crazy. I think a time when I feel bigger adrenaline rush, if I can pull an audible right now, I think the time when I feel the most adrenaline rush is when I do my large scale installations.
Okay.
When we're up at like 5 a.m. and we got a box truck full of flowers and we're like starting to like design and build, because you have to build out the structure that you're going to put all the flowers on before building that stuff out before, as the sun is rising. And we're not most time, I'm always doing it at a Black Monument in Chicago. It just feels, it's just this rush of adrenaline because it feels purposeful. It feels like, wow, I'm doing something that's highlighting Black stories. Like, this is a statue that people walk by every day. They probably don't pay attention to it, but after we're done here, people are going to look and notice, and whoever this statue is to, whatever this statue is about, now people are going to pay attention and like want to read and learn more about it. Because right now we got an installation up at the statue of the founder of Chicago, Jean-Baptiste Pissabo. He was half Haitian, half French, and he's credited with founding Chicago. So he's, you know, Black brother. And we posted a little reel on Instagram, and it's like over 400,000 views. This statue is there all the time, but now like thousands of people are talking about it online because we took the time to put some flowers on it. And so that definitely gives a big adrenaline rush.
Cool.
Nice.
Okay, this is our final sports drive Jeopardy. So we hit you with a series of questions. It's kind of up tempo, but they're very interesting. And I'm glad I get to ask the first one because I'm a huge connoisseur. Favorite Chicago food? Talk to me, Mr. Pemberton. Tell me something good, please, sir.
Favorite Chicago food? Yes. I just went here yesterday. I have to say, Riccobini's. It's my favorite, just like go to sandwich spot.
Okay, tell me what they serve. Talk to me. Make my mouth water.
They're known for a breaded steak sandwich. They get the breaded steak and they drown it in marinara sauce, and they put it on the roll, Italian roll. And you get sweet or hot peppers, and then you get mozzarella cheese. You had that thing. You ready to take a nap?
God, I just had my eyes closed for a second. All right. Here's a question. Like I said, we hit you with a series of questions, and some of them are funny. You know, it's meant to be that. Mix it up. All right. Here's an interesting question. If you were on death row, what would you want your last meal to be?
Last meal on death row to be, man, probably, not even probably, a plate of like just of my mom's like Sunday dinner, like dressing, collard greens, cornbread. I'm from the country, so yeah, I would want some raccoon on there.
That's that grown yeah talking.
Nice. What movie? Yeah. What movie have you watched too many times?
Ooh, this is embarrassing. The movie is called Elf. It's a Christmas movie with Will Ferrell.
No, it's not. No, that movie is hilarious.
We had another guest.
I've watched
that said
it too many times.
Right. All right. This is our Blue Bag Music segment. What type of music do you listen to?
I love Kendrick Lamar's music. They're not like us. Exactly. Like, I've been a fan way before that, but like, I love his music.
You've been a fan since Good Kid, Mad City?
Yes.
What? What you know about Good Kid, Mad City?
Yeah.
What you know about Good Kid, Mad City, Mr. Pilderson? Come on now.
I love Kendrick Lamar's music, and he's just so inspiring as an artist so much so that I'm working on a project that's taking on his album To Pimp a Butterfly.
Wow.
And I'm taking that album and turning it into visual art.
What?
Yeah.
That was a fire album, To Pimp a Butterfly. That was a fire album.
Incredible.
Oh my God.
Incredible.
What's your favorite one? What's your favorite album?
Oh, I would have to say To Pimp a Butterfly.
Mine is Good Kid, Mad City.
Yeah, a lot of people are Good Kid, Mad City.
Good Kid, Mad City, fire.
But also, Damn is a good one, too.
Damn was good. I thought, to be honest, Damn was my least favorite. I'm going to be honest.
Whoa.
I'm sorry. Damn was my least favorite. Maybe it came out at the wrong, I don't know, but Damn was my least favorite.
My least favorite was Mr. Morale and Big Steppers.
That you know what? I digress. I would put that one as my least favorite, but after that, Damn. I'm sorry.
So sad.
What was your favorite cartoon to watch growing up?
Ooh, favorite cartoon. Man, that is really hard. Because I'm like, what cartoon did I watch? I remember when I was real little, I watched Power Rangers and Barney. But then when I started watching cartoons... Proud Family. I really like the Proud Family.
Okay. All right.
That was a good one.
That's different. Yeah. That's different.
Yeah.
All right. What would be the first thing you would do if you were elected president of the U.S.? I want you to think about that. What would be the first thing you would do?
First thing I would do would be to release every person who is in any type of prison or jail who is there because of marijuana. Like,
ooh, facts. You get the music on that one, brother. Amen to that, sir.
Amen. Yes, absolutely.
All right, this is the white reporter
boy
question.
Y'all doing the white boy voice.
What was the last thing you added to your wardrobe?
This is a good question. And it's also super random. I just got these like hickory stripe pants. There's like the thin blue and white stripes.
Okay.
I just got some of those.
Okay, cool.
All right. Last one is what is your favorite flower?
My favorite flower is the ranunculus.
The ranunculus.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of that.
It's my favorite because it's a sturdy flower. Uh-huh. So it's like it financially, I don't have to worry about dying or wasting. The waste on it isn't that bad. Okay. And then it also just looks really good. It looks great.
Okay. So, wow. Okay. All right. Here's the tongue twister segment. I'm going to say this tongue twister, and then I want you to say it behind me. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Here it is. One smart fellow felt smart. Two smart fellows felt smart. Three smart fellows felt smart. Four smart fellows felt smart. And they all felt smart together.
Okay. One smart fellow felt smart. Two smart fellows felt smart. Three smart fellows felt smart. Four smart fellas felt smart.
Nice.
And they all felt smart together.
Smart together. Yeah, he said they all smelled smart.
Nice.
Good job. That's a good job. Right.
All right, here's a question
for you.
What if Clark County High School alumni basketball team played the Simeon High School alumni basketball team?
What? That's so funny.
You think y'all got a shot?
Not even a little bit. I'm a Bulldog fan till the day I die. I love Clark County Bulldogs, but ain't no way on God's green earth.
Was Simeon that good?
This ain't gonna happen.
Simeon is the real. That's where Derrick Rose went to.
Oh,
that's where Derrick Rose went.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm there now.
Right.
All right. This is a would you rather segment.
That's a good one.
Okay.
Would you rather be chosen to design the Garden of Eden or chosen to design the floral arrangements for Joseph and Mary's wedding?
Joseph and Mary's wedding.
Why would you would pick that over the Garden of Eden?
Yeah, because here's the thing. I tell people all the time, I'm not good at like landscaping and doing things where the stuff needs to keep living. I'm good with the cut flowers where it's like we can make it look good, but it's all going to die pretty soon.
So you don't think God would have been satisfied with your floral arrangement in the garden?
Absolutely not. That would have been real bad.
John, we have to talk.
I think Alan would have went to God and been like, hey, God, look here. We need to talk. We need to talk to Mr. Pendleton about this floral arrangement. Now, that was good.
All right. This is called a fill in the blank. So I'll say blank and you'll just have to fill it in. The blank is the world's largest free outdoor food festival.
Is it the Taste of Chicago?
Yes. Correct. We're going to give you a hand clap if you get it now.
Chicago invented the blank pizza.
Wait, say that again?
Chicago invented the blank pizza.
Deep dish.
Correct. The state flower of Alabama is the blank.
Camellia.
Camellia. 3 for 3.
Right, 3 for 3.
3 for 3.
Yes. All right. This is the Never Have I Ever segment. Okay, here's this quick instructions. Mm-hmm. If it's yes, we say roses are red. If it's no, we say violets are blue. Got it?
All right. Yes, all right. Roses are red. No, violets are blue.
Yes. Okay. So here's the first never have I ever. Never have I ever screamed during a scary movie. Yeah. Roses are red. Roses are red for me. I scream.
Roses are red for me.
Roses are red for me. I have screamed.
Okay. Never have I ever laughed so hard I spit out my drink. Roses are red.
Roses are red, yeah.
All right. Never have I ever eaten whipped cream straight out of the can. Violets are blue.
Roses are red.
I've never done it.
Oh, I've put it all the way down.
Never have I ever passed gas in a public space.
Roses are red.
Okay, John, we're going to get you out of here on that one right there. Anything you want to take to the people before you go, in where they can find you, where you know, with your website, you got a social media?
Yeah. So the social media is Planks and Pistols on Instagram and Facebook. It's Pistols, like PISTILS. There's a in the flower. And then the website is www.planksandpistols.com. If any folks from Alabama or in Chicago, hit me up. Would love to show you around, tell you all the good places to eat. So, yeah.
Nice. All right.
Now we got to connect in Chicago.
We got to connect, though. So if we come now, we're going to give you a call.
That sounds good. You got my number.
I got you. I'm going to lock you in now, Mr. Pendleton.
Sounds good.
Nice. All right, man. We thank you for having it. Mr. Pendleton,
thank you, John.
Give it up for Mr. Pendleton.
Thank you
for being on and off the field.
Of course. Y'all have a good evening.
Yes, sir. You too.
Bye-bye. Nice. The flower whisperer.
The flower whisperer.
Give it up for the flower whisperer. Yeah.
Okay. Ode to McNutt.
An ode.
Velvet petals kissed by dew.
Colors bursting fresh and new.
From tiny bud to blossom bright.
Flowers whisper pure delight.
Monica McNutt a bloom in the sports scene.
Her voice like petals, vibrant and keen.
On court side of or Mike, her ice in flight.
Would you read that again? Because you get that. I missed it. Yes.
On court side of Mike, her insights take flight.
A boutique of knowledge, shining so bright.
Oh, to McNutt.
To the listeners, you can follow us on our podcasts, on and off the field.com with the DA.
All right, this has been episode number 30, On and Off the Field Sports Podcasting with a Purpose.
Rest assured.
Yeah, coach.
Rest assured. This is your boy, Coach Parson, a.k.a. Still a Nation. Since 1976.
This is the Yoda Man. I got tongue tied for a minute. Listen, y'all. We have fun on here. We
like,
out.
Off like glue.
We out.
Peace.
Peace, man.